All right, you may be seated. Thank you. Thanks for coming along this evening to Wednesday night. And I'm looking forward to conference that's less than a week's time. And what a privilege it is for us as a church to continue to host that. And I hope that you've been praying. I hope you've been thinking about it. And I look forward to seeing everyone there. Let's encourage one another to be part of that. And, you know, it's not often. Obviously, it's once a year that we get together with other brethren of like faith and others who will come along and be hopefully part of the week. And yet we sometimes we can head into a time like that and maybe take it a little bit for granted and sort of come in with, you know, it's just another conference and it's another year and hopefully we see some of the people we saw last year. Hopefully we don't see some of the people we saw last year. I don't know how you're feeling. But however it is, I think we ought to have the mindset that we don't just get to do that once again this year, that really that should be part of our stewardship as a church. We've had a long history of hosting this conference. And I know personally for me that prior to me being part of our church, that coming to our particular conference was always helpful. It was always a great time of renewal for me. It was always a great time of adding. It was always a great time where God spoke to my heart. And I certainly want that again as we head into this year's conference. I don't want to, you know, do all the planning and have the staff running around getting things ready and have everyone, you know, excited about the time, and then there's no result. There's nothing that adds to it in our lives. There's nothing that God does, and we sort of, you know, it's just another one, and we get the customary mug, and we add it to our collection, and we look at that, and that's another year. We want it to be blessed, and I want to speak a bit about that. This evening, look at Galatians chapter 2, and you know I've been blessed to go to different conferences over the years, and you know those conferences are a great time. It's a great amount of investment for us as a church. There's a great amount of investment in those who are traveling, and you know I've been blessed enough over the years to attend different conferences as well, and I'll tell you that really generally you want to go there and you want to just be helped. You want to feel like things have been added into your life as a result of that. And, you know, sometimes we go and we don't want to come to a conference where you feel like you're just there and no one notices and no one knows that you're even there. And you sort of just walk away like, why did I spend all that money and all that time and take off time from my work and take holiday time to even be there? We want to just ensure that as God has allowed us to be part of that, to include this as part of our ministering to others, that you know, we want to add value and we want to be able to gather as a group of people with like faith. And it's just going to be a time where we have fellowship, where we have the preaching of the Word of God, but then there's an adding to the lives of those that will come in our own lives as well. And, you know, sometimes you do go and it does. Maybe there will be those who'll come to our conference this coming week and it'll be their first time. And hand up if you remember maybe your first time going to conference. All right, some of you, yeah. I remember my first time, one of my first times heading over to another conference in the US, and it's a big conference. It's usually around, you know, 5,000 to 7,000 people there. So it's one of those that you really can easily sort of slip in. But this one particular year, we had planned it, and my cousin and his wife, they're staying with us this week. They're from Rockhampton. They're just visiting. But he and I traveled to the U.S. together, and we really were hosted by a group of friends on his side. You know, he had a group of friends that lived in San Diego, and we were going to go there, and then they were going to drive us to the conference that was about 3.5-4 hours away. So here we were, we flew in, we had gotten settled in, and 2 days later we were going to this conference, and we gotten ready, we knew it was a long trip. We had estimated that because of that, we need to leave a little earlier so we can get to our hotel, get changed. You know, we don't want to travel in our suit and tie and all of that. So we're all in both in very casual clothes, just traveling clothes. So we're waiting, and the pickup time comes, and you know, we're thinking, oh, maybe they're just a little late. We got a little bit of time. An hour passes, they still weren't there. 2 hours pass, and now we're just like, was there an accident? Did something happen? And then 4 hours pass, and they finally arrive to pick us up. Isn't that a blessing when you're 4 hours late? Right? So 4 hours now, it was like, okay, well, we're just going to make it. So here we are, and you know, there's a dress code generally. And so we're there, we're not dressed for the occasion. And we get there, and you know what it was? It's a Baptist gathering. And so guess what? The only seats available when you're late are the ones at the front, right? So here we were, carnal, because, you know, we were mad at our hosts. And we were mad that we were 4 hours late and we had just made it. We couldn't shower, we couldn't check in. And we had to leave our luggage in the foyer of the church. And we were dragging ourselves in. And, you know, the ushers, bless them, they took us. And they didn't seat us at the back. They sat us right at the front. Isn't that a blessing? And so here we were looking disheveled, looking a little angry, worse for wear. And we were sitting at the front, and we were just there in time for the preaching. And I just know that the preacher was preaching at us like we needed to get saved, because we looked like, you know, we weren't ready for church. And, you know, we looked at that, and man, we felt like that night it was just a bit of a waste. We weren't ready for conference. And to top it all off, the following year we attended the same conference, and we looked at the advertising, and guess who was right on the front page of the advertising? It was me and my cousin in our disheveled looking state, like, pray for the salvation of souls. You know, like, we were the example of that. Like, thank you. I appreciate that. But, you know, sometimes we come into conference and we're not quite ready. We're not quite, you know, other things have happened, and perhaps we come in and out of maybe duty, out of habit, we're just there. But we shouldn't approach those times, because times like that, they ought to be special. They ought to be held to a high degree of, you know, it's rare, it's once a year. It's not always the case that we get to gather around churches and brethren of like faith. And yet, sometimes we do come a little bit, maybe unaware of what it is that we're supposed to be and how it is that we're supposed to be as we enter that time. And I want to give you a couple of places, just one place in Scripture here tonight that I think really speaks a little bit to that. Look at Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading. Let's see here. Let's begin reading in verse 6. And the context I want to give you is Paul was addressing a group here of believers in Galatia, and there was a bit of a mixing into the church. He was addressing an issue that was happening that really is still somewhat happening today. There were those who were saying, you've got to be saved, but you've got to add this so that you're really saved. They were saying that you've got to obey the law. You've got to believe in Christ, yes, but then you've also got to add to the law, or add to that the law and obedience to that as well. Then you're saved. And so really Paul's battling that, and he's really referring to a time when that happened earlier in his ministry, back in Acts chapter 15, where he and really Barnabas was just, they had gone to a place where Gentiles were suddenly getting saved. And there were those who were in the Jerusalem church and those that probably should have known a little bit better who were saying, no, that can't be true, because they're not this, they're not circumcised, they're not this with the law, and they're not this with that. And he was saying to this group of believers as an example, that's happened before and we've discussed it. And that's not needed. All of that was decided there at the Jerusalem Council, that it's the doctrine of salvation is that it's only through Christ. It's Christ plus nothing, right? Right, church? So we're there, okay? And now he says in verse 6. So that's the context in the conversation. And in verse 6, but of these who seem to be somewhat, and He's saying that he thought they might have been excited at least that there were people getting saved. He says, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. So he's saying it's not that they held some kind of position. It really doesn't matter. God accepts those that are his. He says, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. You know, his main complaint as they gathered during that time was that while they were in conference, meaning that they were gathering for an express purpose. That's really what conference is about. We're gathering because we have a like-mindedness about the Word of God. We have a like-mindedness about the work of God. And we as God's people, we are served well when we gather together and we're sharpened by others. And, you know, the Bible tells us that as iron sharpens iron, so doth the countenance of a friend. And we're hoping that some of our friends from around the country and some from even overseas are going to come, and we're going to have that edifying time and that building time. But he's saying, you know, this conference added nothing to me. I thought that I was going to come and there's going to be an adding, there was going to be this excitement about what was happening, but here's what happened. It added nothing to me. And really that was his main complaint about it. And then he says in verse 7, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, you remember that Paul was really the apostle to the Gentiles, and he'll make that clear. He says, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, and Peter really was apostle to the Jews, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. He's saying, as much as God gave some special calling to Paul, to Peter, God gave that to me too, but not to the Jews, but me to the Gentiles. He says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, and they were really the leaders of that Jerusalem church, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. And we're reading about this, really, Paul was describing the time that he was gathering around others and what it should have been and what it was. And I want you to remember that tonight, because I want to be, as a church, and by the way, we're hosting, we're not just attending, we're hosting the conference. We get to host it. That means that we're the face of this place that God has given, and we are the welcoming, and regardless of whether you're part of the connection team or the welcoming and the greeting team, you are the welcoming committee, all right? And we get to host people that will have traveled, and maybe in their weariness, and maybe with a desire to get some clarity from the Lord, and we ought to have the attitude that we add to that. We don't just come here to just simply sit and simply soak. We're here to add to that. And I want to describe really what a good conference looks like as we consider some things here that we read in Scripture. Firstly, I want to note here in verse 6 that his main complaint was that it added nothing. You know what it didn't do? It didn't cultivate anything in him. There was some of those that perhaps should have known to be encouraging and should have known a little bit more about what was happening with the gospel. That should have just been more encouraging, but they weren't. They didn't add. And what I would say that a good conference, firstly, is a time that it's cultivating. It'll cultivate some things in you, and it ought to cultivate some things in others. And what he's describing, firstly, as we think about this thought of, you know, adding, It ought to be a time where we're cultivating right culture. You know what that right culture is? He's speaking about, look at verse 6 again, but of these who seem to be somewhat, and notice what he puts in the parenthetically here, he says, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. So he's saying, didn't really matter who they were, but he says, God accepted no man's person. And he's reminding them, God is not a respecter of persons. He's saying, you know, what adds, what cultivates, what we ought to cultivate, it is just a culture of acceptance. There are going to be those that minister in different places around Australia, and they might have a different approach to certain things, and they might even be looking around and everything's different and new. You know what? We ought not to be looking for those that are just like us before we accept them. No, God's no respecter of persons. God's going to bring those that are needed to be here this coming week. And we ought to have the heart that God has of just developing that right culture of acceptance, of welcome, of hospitality, of understanding that God's people are God's people, and we get to be part of that and we get to cultivate that. You know, sometimes we sort of come to a conference and even as hosts thinking that it's just about us getting something. You know, I hope that we're really planning as we go ahead for this coming time that we're just going to come and we're going to add value, that we're going to add something to the conference. And maybe you're already going to serve in some sort of capacity, maybe not. But I want to tell you, regardless of a position or a place of service, you can add value. You know, I remember another time I was part of a men's quartet. Brother John, JDR, he was our tenor, I was the baritone, and we had a lead and we had a bass, right? That was our quartet. And believe it or not, we used to get invited to all of these meetings to sing. And we used to have, we had a fan base. We had a fan base. It numbered one pastor. He was our number one fan. He's still to this day, Brother Jewel, you'll be glad to know, he was asking for a CD anyway. So, but we still never produced one. And who owns CDs anyway? Anyway, but we were invited to this particular one, and we knew it was going to be a big meeting. It was a missions-themed meeting. And there was estimated, they said, it's going to be 1,000 people there in Australia. That's like huge numbers, right? And so we were nervous. Like, we had never sung in front of an audience that big. And so we prepared like never before. We were going to schedule to sing one song on the final night. And so we practiced. We spent a bit of money, and we got ourselves voice training. We went to a voice teacher. We practiced an hour on top of our normal practice a week with that voice teacher. And we practiced and we practiced, and we were so excited, a little bit nervous, but we felt prepared. And we attended, and you know, typical gathering of Baptist people, it started late, right? And so here we were, and we got the schedule. We were due to sing after the first message. And we were going through the whole meeting, and we got to the place where we were meant to sing. We were ready behind the curtain, and the pastor moved on to the next thing. Like, really? 6 months of practice, and you forgot? And so we thought, no, maybe he wants to move us to another part of the service. So we sat there, and the meeting ended, and it ended late. It was like 11 at night, okay? Like, we started at 7, we finished at 11. Some of you are frowning at me like, don't you ever do that, all right? But we finished late, and they didn't call. We stayed the whole time, and we looked at each other like, wow. And we felt like, we did nothing. And the pastor was very apologetic. He says, I forgot. And I'm like, yeah, right. You just don't like us, you know. And anyway, and sometimes we go through a meeting and we feel like, yeah, we were there. But what did we do? And I'm saying, don't have that. Be intentional. Intentionally, there could be someone in the auditorium that actually, you need to cultivate a relationship with someone that maybe they're going through a similar situation as you. Maybe there's something that God's brought you through that now they're going through, and now's the time. God's made it just this time in July in Brisbane, Australia, that you're going to intersect a little bit. And come with a purpose is what I'm saying. Come with intentionality that you're going to come that week and you're not going to just be satisfied to just sit there. You're going to add. You're going to go out there and maybe go on a limb and talk to someone and speak to someone and shake someone's hand and maybe sit with someone that you never met and is maybe not someone that you would normally. But that's cultivating a right culture. But then secondly, it's cultivating that right spirit. It's a spirit of edification, of adding. By the way, one of the reasons why God even gives us spiritual gifts is for the edification of the church. And some of us, we bury our talents and we bury those things. Why? Because, well, someone else is going to do it. Well, I'm just here and yes, we have conference. Yes, once again. And we miss the opportunity to cultivate right culture and a right spirit of adding, edifying, building up. You know, one of the meetings that I got to go here, it was a leadership conference one year, and I was really discouraged. There was a group of young adults that, man, I spent a lot of time with discipling, loving on, training, and for whatever reason, one by one that year, they all started leaving. They all started coming under spiritual attack, and suddenly they just were nowhere. And I'm talking about years. I'm talking about when, from the time they were 13 right through to 18, 19, some of them 20. And I was so discouraged. And I was coming here, I think it was a March meeting, so I don't know how long ago that was. But I had emailed ahead, and that year I was coming in. I was on my own. And the hard thing was the year before that, a couple of these young adults, they were with me at this very meeting. So here I am a year later, and I was alone. And I didn't feel like, you know, being on my own, I should just hire a car. I thought, I'm going to ask. So I emailed the church office, and, you know, Good Shepherd, they hosted me. They said, no, Pastor, we'll send someone there. And they gave me a name. I didn't recognize the name. I don't know who this person was. But, you know, he volunteered. He volunteered to be a driver. He volunteered his vehicle to pick me up. He had never met me really before. And he wasn't even in my age group. He was someone that was older than me, someone that I probably would never have gotten to meet otherwise. But he picked me up in his car, and he at least knew what I looked like because he didn't look at someone else. He just picked me up. And I got in his car, and he just asked me, you know, how are you? You know, what are you looking forward to at conference? And, you know, I said the same things. Oh, I'm looking forward to the preaching and all of this. And he looked at me and said, Pastor, how are you really? And, man, I thought, he actually wants to know. And then I began to share a little bit, you know, all these young adults that, and they weren't my own. I had invested. And he told me, you know, Pastor, I'm going through the same thing, but it's my own children. And he said, you know, I've just been, and he gave me this, he gave me the parable of the prodigal. And he sort of elaborated on that, what he's been learning through that. And he just encouraged my heart. Like that was the whole conference for me. I mean, it wasn't a preacher. It wasn't someone who was up here that, you know, we all recognize. He volunteered to drive. But you know what he had? He was cultivating a right spirit of edifying. He wasn't just going to do his thing. He was going to do God's thing. And that's what I want to encourage you about tonight. You know, we're going to take our time to pray. We can look at the other ones. I won't. You can talk about here in verse 7 to 8 really quickly, a time of confirming. They saw each other's work for the Lord. The Lord, they recognized the Lord who does the calling. In verse 8, it was really also a time of connecting. They recognized they were on the same team. They had the same message. And then it's really a time of charging. They got charged to get back to the priority. They got charged to get back to the work. And we're hoping that we get a charge from the Lord over the course of this coming week. But don't come to this coming week and it'll just be that, another one. Come and let's make a difference. Come and let's cultivate the right thing. Cultivate a right culture, acceptance and and welcoming and warmth, and let's cultivate just a right spirit. Let's edify, let's add. Let's walk away being added to, but adding to others. And so we're going to take our time to pray now. If you haven't received this, it's just Leadership Conference prayer points. So if you haven't received that, raise your hand. And Danny, it's your job. Go get them. Hand those out. All right. Danny Tran, that's you. That's it. Get a move on. Well, and Danny Holowaty. Look at this. Any other Dannys? Any other Dannys? Any other Dannys? All right, but raise your hand. Raise your hand if you need one of these. But we're going to simply take the rest of the time tonight, and appreciate you listening in. But we're going to take the rest of the time to pray. I want to encourage you, if you don't have the time tonight, to really take the time the rest of the week to pray through the names. And I know you're going to read through these and you're not really going to recognize the names on the pages. You might. But I want to ask that you just pray for these names. You bring them before the Lord, and ask that the Lord will work on their hearts. The churches that they're from are listed. Pray for those churches. That God would just work through the course of the week. Then that's what we're going to do tonight. Pastor Phil already mentioned, be praying for Annette Burke. But I'm sure in your groups as you pray, you can share some prayer points. So let's do that tonight. So let's break up. Let's use all the auditorium. Let's use the time this evening. Don't rush off. Let's just take the time to pray for conference. Pray for good weather. Pray for those traveling, especially those driving, with some of the wild weather that's forecasted in the next couple of days, that they won't be flooded in and all of that. Just pray that God will bring him here by his grace. And then pray for yourself. Pray that the Lord will speak to you and use you as the week unfolds. All right, that's it. Let's pray.